Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
My father and mother abandoned me. I am like an orphan. But you, Lord, took me in and made me yours. That is from Psalm 27, verse 10, and it is the life verse for today's guest. Jolene Pinney is a former foster youth. She's now a passionate advocate for children and families. So welcome to the show, Jolene.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you on the show. I've known you for a number of years, and I'm just so excited that everything has come together for you to be with us today. Like I mentioned, you were you're a former foster youth. How old were you when you entered foster care?
I was 14 years old, but my birthday was in December, so I was turning 15. I went to the foster care system in September of the year that I was turning 15.
Wow. All right. And would you share with us whatever you feel comfortable sharing about the circumstances that led you to enter foster care?
Yes, I had ran away from home. I had plans to run away from home because my stepfather was sexually abusing me. He is on the National Registry for Sex Abusers. And so his sister actually helped me run away from home, and I hid in her house. Then the police went and got me that night, and I was never back since.
Wow. So now this was back before there was probably the National Registry, correct? But he is on there now?
He is on there now. This is back in the early 80s. He is on there now for South Carolina. And so he was in jail for 2.5 years. And so they tried to hide from people and stuff like that, but it didn't work. And so he's on there. He has to show his face every 6 months, and he has to have a picture done and everything. And so, yes, this is way before that even happened.
Yeah. So that was what really kind of catapulted you into foster care. And how many foster homes were you in ultimately?
I was in 2 foster homes. My second one was the best one. My first one, I ran away from that one because it had a good and a bad time. I met a lot of people, started going to the Alcove Church, all that stuff. So it wasn't totally, totally bad. At that time, I just needed the discipline to make sure I was going down the right path.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was being blamed for things I wasn't even part of or doing, and got too strict where I couldn't do much of anything.
Yeah. And there are good foster homes and there are not so good foster homes. And unfortunately, that is the case with so many foster children and youth, is they get bounced from home to home for various reasons, some of it having nothing to do with them, but that is very common in the story. I do know that there was a person who was key in praying for you even before you entered foster care, and that was a bus driver. So can you tell us a little bit about that piece of the story?
Yes. Her name was BJ. She helped. My sister has disabilities. My younger sister does. She used to pick up my younger sister and take to a special school. And she felt the Lord to want her to pray for our family. And I didn't realize until later on in life that she was praying for our family every time she picked up my sister and went down the driveway to get my sister. She was praying for our family. And that's what started the whole ball rolling.
Wow. And I just find that to be so encouraging, because we ask people, not everybody initially maybe feels called or led to become a foster parent or to adopt children, because it's such a huge undertaking. Although when we pray, the Lord may put that on our hearts to do, and we need to be obedient, but we can still pray for children, and prayer makes a huge difference. And your your life is a testimony to that. So I wanted to make sure that we, that we brought attention to that and acknowledged a praying bus driver intervening and being an intercessor for your family really was a big part of what got the ball rolling to get you out of that bad situation and into a good one. So Jolene, how did you feel in those early years being in foster care? What did that feel like, if you're able to describe that for us?
It was hard for me for a while because I didn't know anybody. But I ended up being, my first foster home was with a lady, and she was actually the best friend to my sister's bus driver. So she was a Christian at the time and stuff like that. And we used to go hang out with the bus driver at her Christian bookstore and stuff like that. But then she introduced me to a young lady named Chrissy's auntie at the time was Chrissy O'Brien. And she was an inspiration to me. And she's also the one that helped me get me in the Alcove Church and stuff like that and helped me get, you know, dedicate my life and everything to the Lord. But if it wasn't for her, I don't know where I would be because it was not a good situation. I mean, it's very, very hard to be taken out of your home that you knew all your life to be put in with strangers. But with prayer, everything worked out.
Wow. I love that. So you were eventually placed with the second set of foster parents being Pastor Stan and Mary Slager. And some of our longer term listeners may be familiar with the fact that Mary Slager used to co-host this show with me when we were on the radio in the early years of doing the Orphans No More show. Mary and I founded Justice for Orphans together. She's at the very heart and foundation of this ministry that led to this very podcast. And the Slagers actually were your second foster placement. So how did living with the Slagers and being in their Christian home, how did that change your life?
That changed my life a lot better because the fact that they were already previous foster parents from Long Island. And they move into Shiloh Retreat Center. Shiloh is actually called a place of peace. Mm-hmm. And that place is beautiful down there. If anyone's ever been down there, it's the most gorgeous place you'll ever be in this area. And so I live with them. They became my foster parents when they were running that. And then after they left that, they became back into more of the foster care. And then adopted Ukrainian children and stuff like that. But their heart was in for children. And because of that, they were able to teach me stuff that I didn't know from the previous one. And that was, you know, the basics of life, the cooking, the cleaning, and the driving the car, doing my math because I was going to a Christian school at the time, stuff. So a lot of things they taught me, and they also taught me that every morning we get up and have devotionals when we're not working and stuff like that. So they taught me the importance of reading the Bible and praying.
Wow. I love that. And I know Pastor Stan and Mary started off in Long Island fostering. They came up to this upstate New York region where we live in the capital region. They ran Shiloh Retreat Center, which sadly right now is closed. But then they pastored at Gospel Community Church in Coxsackie. And that was just a huge part of your life. So I love how it really was a place of peace, a time of peace for your life, a place where you could really receive healing. The Slagers recently moved to South Carolina, so we do miss them and wish them well there. We appreciate all that they've done. And they still have a heart for children down even in South Carolina in their retirement years. So they're still impacting the lives of children. So we're grateful for their work and their heart. Now you've mentioned a couple times, Jolene, that you were able to attend a Christian school. How did that come about?
Well, because the BJ that was praying for me, the bus driver, her son had the quarry up here in Alcove, New York. And they had sponsored some kids, gave some money for scholarships at the time for kids to go there. And I was actually happened to be one of the recipients of the scholarship. So they actually paid for me to continue my education to graduate from the school. And so I was able to continue the education that brought me there. And I mean, I've known the O'Briens for all my life, basically since I was 14 years old, because of Chrissy. And so it was basically her father that helped solidify some kids for scholarships there.
That is amazing. I love that. What did you do after high school?
After high school, I taught at Alcove for another year with Wendy Flack. Actually, it was Wendy Fields at the time. And then I was her teacher assistant. And then I left there and went to college in Springfield, Missouri, at Central Bible College for a year. I didn't do so well because I was on my own learning all this hard stuff. And then I came back and lived with the Gileses for a little bit. And then I lived with another family. And then I ended up moving in with Wendy Flack and Annie Young for a little bit. And then I went on my own. And then from there, I met my husband, Mike Penny, shortly after that.
Wow. So the Lord definitely was impacting your life over the many years. Over those years, so many Christians, including pastors, you've mentioned BJ the bus driver and the O'Briens and the Slagers and the Giles, so many people invested in your life, so many Christians. And do you believe that has made a difference?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My mom, when us girls, when me and my older sister were younger, she made us go to a Pentecostal church. So I grew up in the Pentecostal church, but then my mom got away from that when she married my stepfather. And then everything from there went downhill. But I met some great people when I was at the Pentecostal church, and I'm still friends with some of them today. And they're like my second family, was my mom's best friend. But when she married Phil, everything went downhill. But now God has brought me back on track and back where he needs me to be. And by me listening to do what he wants me to do, it made an impact on my life. And with the other people that are around me, from the Gileses to Stan and Mary Slager, to Pastor Justin Metcalf now, and there's a lot of people that has made an impact on my life. There's too many to count, so.
And God kept just putting them in your life, boy. So I opened the show with Psalm 27:10. Like I said, that is your life verse. My father and mother abandoned me. I'm like an orphan, but you took me in and made me yours. Jolene, what does that verse mean to you?
That means because the fact that my mom chose my stepfather over me, she signed the paperwork over me to the state of New York, and I never knew my father, that left me an orphan. And because I was an orphan, God loves orphans. And he loves the Christian people to take care of the orphans, because that's what we are called to do. And so that's why that scripture, I stood by that scripture all my life. And I still stand by that scripture because my kids don't have grandparents now. But the Lord has been my father and my mother throughout these years, because he's the only one that I can go to that is faithful.
Wow. Amen. That is just a profound statement, Jolene. That is what it's all about. So thank you so much for sharing that. I also wanted to bring up some history here. A few years back, well, like 20 years ago, you and I attended a Bible study together, and we studied the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. There's a book, there's a Bible study, and we did that study. It was about knowing and doing the will of God, how you would know God's will for your life and how to walk that out in obedience. And I know it transformed my life. How did it impact you?
Because it impacted me because that it lists five things in there that God can move in circumstances. God can move in ungodly people. God can move in any ways he wants to move. And it just showed me that it doesn't have, it's not a a one-way pathway where God can move. God can move any way he wants to move to making sure that he gets his will done. And to me, that's so important. As long as we follow and do the will of God, then everything will fall into place, whether we're going through hard times or not hard times. We just need to continue to do the will and praise him and thank him for everything he's done. We never finished that book. I have the people know that, because that's where he wrote it. If you read the beginning of it, he prays that you do not finish this book, because the fact that when you don't finish the book, that means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
And we didn't even realize that we were going to fall right into that, because we didn't finish the book. I think we spent at least a full year of Bible study meetings, weekly meetings under the leadership of Pearl Collins and a group of us women. And we were doing that study and we didn't finish it. But when we ended meeting together, we were all in different various places where we were really being obedient to what God was calling us to do in our lives. And I always point that book out to people when I'm speaking and this topic comes up. And I know you do too. So I had to bring that up. Awesome. So let us, I wanted to get to your family. That's where I want to go next. Family is vitally important to you. And you mentioned that your kids don't have grandkids. So I want to let everybody know that your husband, Mike, you and your husband, Mike, have been married for almost 28 years. And you have 5 grown biological children. So I have a list here. So hopefully I'll get them all right. Ryan is 27. Nick is 25. Michael Jr. is 23. Brittany is 20. And Mackenzie is 19. And you have a precious granddaughter, 5-year-old granddaughter, Rebecca. And I have watched you with your kids, and they just adore you. We were in church doing Orphan Sunday just last week, and it was just so amazing to see. They dote on you. They adore you. They're all active in your church, and you attend Solid Rock Family Fellowship in Glenmont, New York. Jolene, how is your history of foster care and then coming to Christ? How has that affected your family?
It's affected my family quite a bit. I had to say something at Santa Mary's Going Away Party, that it takes one person. If you affect one person's life, you can affect many people's lives. And because they affected my life, I can affect my children's life. I, not knowing that I was going to end up having 5 kids, not knowing that I actually have 2 grandkids. And it is just by them being able to impact my life, I'm able to impact my children's life and make sure they're in church and make sure they realize what God's done in my life to show forth what God can do in their lives. And yes, they are active in the church, except for Ryan. He lives in Rochester, but the rest of them go to church and the rest of them are very active in the church because that's important to me. And they're also active in the care portal on top of it. So they're very active in the community, helping other people and helping other people in their daily lives and caring for other people. And that's the key.
Yeah, I love that. One person can affect the life of another person, and that impact can go on. It's a ripple effect, and it just continues on. So I love that. And I'm sorry that I didn't realize you had 2 grandchildren. So I named Rebecca. Who's your other?
My other grandchild is Josiah. He is 6 years old.
Okay. Sorry, I missed Josiah there in the mix. I know I can't keep track of all my own kids, so I can relate. So forgive me for that. But you did mention Care Portal. So let's talk a little bit about Care Portal. For our listeners who might not know, Care Portal is an online technology platform that connects child welfare agencies like foster care agencies with churches so that the churches can meet needs of and minister to children and families in crisis. Justice for Orphans launched Care Portal in Schenectady County 1 year ago. And then just recently on October 1st, 2019, we launched in Albany County. So far, over 450 Capital Region children have been served by local churches who are using and utilizing the Care Portal platform. So Jolene, your church, and I mentioned Solid Rock in Glenmont, is one of our Care Portal churches in Albany County. You're the point person for your church, which means you get those requests that come in from the county and you share them with your church and kind of get them activated, and you gather the stuff and you get people to make the delivery. And you did allude to the fact that your kids are involved in Care Portal because they are responding to mama when she says we have a bed and a dresser that needs to go from point A to point B, and they're all over it. So I want to thank your kids for their hard work in this too. But you even got your church on board before we launched Albany County, and you guys started meeting needs in Schenectady County because you were all in and you were, you know, you want to do this thing. So Jolene, why are you so passionate about Care Portal?
Because I can't foster care right now, and this is just another avenue to help children that are in need. It tells us to help the orphans and help people, the widows in the Bible. Jesus commands us to do that. And there's a song goes, give me your eyes. And if I ask the Lord to give me his eyes, the needs are there. And we need to meet the needs of these children. And the compassion in my heart to help out the children is, there's a child that always needs a bed. We brought things to people's homes. We share things with Schenectady County. These children just need a bed. These parents just need a table to eat off of. Some of them are kicked out of the house for no apparent reason, or they their house burned down. They need all this stuff. You go and deliver the stuff to them, and their house is like empty until you bring the stuff in. And just it's the heart. It's God's heart. And if you, I feel that since I want to do God's will, then this is part of what God wants me to do. And it's part of our family that the compassion's there between my husband driving the trucks and my kids doing all the lifting. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better support system within your family and within the church. The church has given us some items and stuff like that. So it's there, it's available, but this is where we need to be. If you can't foster care, if you can't adopt, if you can't do respite, this is the key to help out the kids that are in need.
So do something, right? We're all called to do something. This is God's will. And he has pointed out clearly throughout the scriptures, like you mentioned, that we are to care for the vulnerable, care for the orphans, care for the widows. It's the least lost and the lonely, right? So children are near and dear to his heart, and at the heart of every Care Portal request is a child in crisis. Kids that could end up in foster care if certain things don't come into place to stabilize their family life. And oftentimes, Jolene, like you mentioned, it's a bed. There are kids throughout the capital region sleeping on floors, sleeping on old mattresses on a floor, sleeping on air mattresses, which winter's coming, folks, and sleeping on an air mattress is not a way to keep warm. And we want kids to do well in school, and they need to be able to have a good night's sleep and a warm bed to give them a good start the next morning. So many things are asked for. You mentioned the table and chairs. Sometimes it's dressers. It could be any number of things, but beds are usually the most number one requested item. And if churches can provide the bed or a new mattress or a mattress frame, it makes a huge impact in the lives of children. So I'm grateful for what your church is doing, for what you and your kids are doing and your husband. So thank you guys for all the hard work that you're doing. And we want to let people know, if your church isn't yet involved in Care Portal, you can donate items such as beds or make a donation to the churches that are involved so that they can get these things and deliver them to families and make a difference in the lives of the children. So I appreciate your passion in that, Jolene. And you yourself have been out on deliveries of Care Portal deliveries of bringing items such as beds to families. What has that experience been like?
Well, we did our first delivery back in May of this year, and it was just before Mother's Day. We did two deliveries. One was to a lady that did not have a couch in her living room, had a small TV, didn't have a couch in the living room for her kids to sit on. They just got the bunk beds from somebody else because this was in Schenectady County. And we delivered that couch to them. We picked it up at a friend's house in Schoharie County. We delivered to Schenectady County. And I thought the woman was going to be in tears because she goes, this is the best Mother's Day present I ever had. Mm-hmm. And so then her kids were able to sit on the couch and everything, and they can relax as a family. And then the other one we just delivered to not too long ago, they had just moved into this house, and the husband wasn't getting any money until until like November 1st or 2nd or something like that. And so the daughter had a broken bed to sleep on, and then the parents just had a blow up bed to sleep on that the child had just broke that morning. And so we went and delivered them a bed for the parents and a big bed for the child. And then we went and delivered a couch to them, and my son put it together. As my son and my husband put it together on the floor because it was a futon still in the box, brand new, and we put it together and delivered them some lamps and some curtains and stuff like that. So from having nothing, at least they had something to sit on now, and then at least the family has some beds to sleep in. And the husband said it was a little cold that morning because they were sleeping on the floor.
Wow. So those items will just make a huge difference in that family's life.
Yes, it made a huge difference. And they watched as my son and my husband was putting the futon together. And good thing they're good mechanics because the fact that that thing was a little complicated. But they got it together and got everything on track and everything. And so they were just very excited, and they had the father had somebody on YouTube or something like on a video chat, and they says talk about, you know, this place is have a sale on items, and so they were still trying to get them some items, and goes, yeah, but we got blessed this morning with all this stuff, and look, and they even showed the guys taking care putting the futon together and everything, so they were very, very pleased with everything.
Aww. And they recognized it as a blessing from God.
They did, because I brought my little granddaughter Becca with us, and she was helping to carry the stuff off of the truck and stuff like that to bring in. And she sat and played with her little girl that they had. And then the mother had made them some popcorn to share and stuff like that. And so just the little things mattered in their lives. And they sat and watched TV together on the thing once the bed was made. Nick made the bed and got the bed together and stuff. And so just the little things in life. He goes, she never has anybody to play with. So it was a really blessing to have this little girl to have somebody to play with.
Aw, that was huge. Thank you so much for that, Jolene, and for all you're doing. And again, your family, your Mike, your husband, and your kids, they've really embraced Care Portal, and it's really ministry. And you're pointing out that not only is it church ministry, but it's a ministry a whole family can get involved in. Your husband, your grown kids, your granddaughter are going out on these deliveries and really blessing people. So thank you so much for that. We are seeing God transforming the foster care system and touching families through his church using this ministry and discipleship tool called Care Portal. Like I said, JFO has implemented Care Portal in Albany County. We have 11 churches so far, and in Schenectady County, we have 8 churches. We need to grow this network of churches in both counties. More churches means more children served. If you are listening and your church is not yet a Care Portal church and is in either Albany or Schenectady County, we need you. So far, we've served over 450 children in just a year, but there's so many more needs out there. I believe in 2018, there were, in Albany County alone, there were over 3,300 calls to Child Protective Services. So every one of those calls indicates a family in crisis, whether kids were removed from the home and placed in foster care or not. That is a family in crisis. That is a huge need. So we need your church to step into this area of ministry. So you can sign your church up. You can learn more, but you can sign your church up simply by going to careportal.org. It'll ask you if you're a church and you want to sign up. And then we will reach out to you so that we can get the ball rolling with your church. Justice for Orphans has a vision to launch Care Portal in all 11 Capital Region counties with the goal of adding one or two counties per year. Whenever God opens the door, we're ready to step through. So we invite you to pray with us. Be praying as we're waiting to hear from the Lord to show us what the next county is. And we would love to launch a new county the first part of 2020. So join us in prayer on that. And as we wrap up, Jolene, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear today?
It's important that it takes one willing soul to do what God wants you to do. BJ was a willing soul to pray, and look what God has done. It takes one person, one prayer, and God can change the situation. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And if the churches need to be on board of the foster care system, I said at church on this past Sunday for Orphan Sunday, that if all the churches were involved and all the church, somebody in the church got into the foster care system or did something, there wouldn't be a foster care system because the churches would take over. Just like that one guy that we heard talking from Texas is like, he has so many people that was willing to take foster care system in. They didn't have enough children, and that's what we need to do. We need to be willing participants in the foster care system. If we can't do foster care, then we need to do something, and that is the Care Portal. It's better than nothing. At least the children have something to sleep on. They can go to school in the morning, or they can do what they need to do, but they're warm, and they're comfortable, and they have something to sleep on and something set on for a kitchen table so they eat dinner together and a living room so they can sit and talk with their families.
That is awesome. One person can pray one prayer that will change the lives of other people. It's effective and it works. And like you said, Jolene, there is more than enough. If every church did something, you might not be able to foster. You might not be able to adopt. Maybe God is calling you to that and you do need to step out in obedience in that area. We can help you with that on our website, justicefororphansny.org. Click the foster care tab, click the adoption tab, and you can learn more about how you can become a foster parent, how you can become an adoptive parent. But if you're not feeling led to do that, then you need to click the Care Portal tab, because you can activate your church and impact so many lives, just like Jolene's life was impacted by one Christian who was a bus driver who prayed, and by another Christian family that were doing foster care, and by another Christian family that provided tuition to a Christian school, and so on. And it's a ripple effect, but it takes one person to make that difference, to start the ball rolling, and you could be that person. So we know that there's more than enough. And Jolene, you alluded to Bishop Blake is the pastor that spoke at our conference. And Bishop Blake, several years ago, became a foster parent, him and his wife, out in Texas. And he pastored a church in Brownwood, Texas. And his eyes were open to the foster care crisis there. And he challenged his congregation, you know, who wants to stand with me for kids in foster care? Would you stand? Would you become a foster parent? And they set a goal to making sure that there were more families who were waiting for children to be placed in their home than there were children waiting for families. Because that's the case here in New York right now, including in the Capital Region. Some foster parents are getting calls that they have to turn down because there's such a great need. Kids are being placed in foster homes 2 hours away from where they actually lived because there's not a foster home closer. They have to change schools. They have to move out of their communities. There's a great need for families, but there's a great need also for the church to come alongside families that are struggling so that they can have some help and support so that they don't struggle any longer. And the church can make that difference. And we are seeing and hearing testimonies of families that did receive some items through Care Portal, a church delivered items, but that connection that was made at that delivery went on to the next encounter with that family and the next. And now we're seeing families attending church because they were served by a church through Care Portal and they wanted to start coming to church. They were getting rides to church from church volunteers who had made deliveries. We're also hearing stories of community people who weren't even attending churches who wanted to do something. So they volunteered with a church that was doing a Care Portal delivery. And now those volunteers are going to church. So it's really a ministry and discipleship tool. And we want to invite everybody to be part of it. So Jolene, thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for your passion and your dedication to kids in crisis. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
So folks, there is a huge need out there for foster parents. As I mentioned, and you heard Jolene's story, Christian foster parents can make an eternal difference in the life of a child in crisis, which could then make a difference in their children and their grandchildren. And it's a ripple effect. And you could start by throwing that pebble in the water, start that ripple effect by being a foster parent. If you'd like to learn more about becoming a foster parent, you can visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. Click on the foster care tab at the top of the page, and you'll find information and you'll find links to local foster care agencies. If your church would like to learn more about Care Portal, the ministry and discipleship tool connecting churches to families in crisis right in their community, visit careportal.org. If you enjoyed today's show, you can find more episodes of Orphans No More on iTunes, Podbean, and Google Play, or also right on our website. Just go to justicefororphansny.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you so much for being with us today. And like Jolene said, everyone can do something, so go do something. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.